We're in Psalm 38 this morning, and it was really interesting to me as two of you came up to me, and one said, "Oh, you've got a work ahead of you this morning on that one." And the other one said, "What are you going to say?" Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to say that it's a good psalm. It's David's psalm. And the first, he opens the psalm with prayer, and then he complains the rest of the way through the psalm, except for one verse. And you know I'd pick the verse that gives us some hope. And that's verse 10. King James, it says, "For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God." And from the Message, it says, "What I do, God, is wait for you. Wait for my Lord my God. You will answer." And the New Living says, "For I am waiting for you, O Lord. You must answer for me, O Lord my God." There's two words from King James that I'm looking at this morning. One is hope, and one is here. Remember, David is in a tough spot. He thinks God has forgotten him. Well, he doesn't really, but those are the circumstances. He feels like, because of what's going on, maybe God has forgotten. So he's complaining. He's bearing his soul to God. And hope means, from the Hebrew, to wait, to be patient, to cause to have, make to hope, to stay, to tarry, to trust, and to wait. And that's what we need to do. We have to have patience as we go before God, and we need to wait before him. We need to pour out our souls to him if things are going upside down, and then we need to wait for him to answer. And it says, "You will hear, Lord." Hear means to heed, to eye, to pay attention to respond, to give an answer. In other words, he's hoping, but he's knowing in his heart that God is going to hear him. And that's what the way we need, the posture we need to use as we go to God. Number one, cry out to him, wait for him, knowing he is going to answer us. Spurgeon has interesting comments on this verse. Says, "David committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, so in patience was able to possess his soul. Hope in God's intervention and belief in the power of prayer are two most blessed stays to the soul in the time of adversity." Turning right away from the creature, that's us, turning away from ourselves, and turning to the sovereign Lord of all, and to him as our own covenant God, we shall find the richest solace in waiting upon him. Thomas Cole, who lived between 1627 and 1697, that's a long time ago, but what he says still rings true. "Fly for refuge unto the hope that is set before thee." And he refers to Hebrews 6:18. And from the Message, Hebrews 6:18 says, "God can't break his word, and because his word cannot change, the promise is likewise unchangeable. We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands and never let go. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline, reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God, where Jesus, running on ahead of us, has taken up his permanent post as high priest for us in the order of Melchizedek." Jesus is our high priest. In every prayer that we pray, he's taking right to the Father. Amen? Amen? Amen. So we need to place our hope in him as we walk this Christian life. And we need to stand tall and proud in his presence. In his presence. Not in ourselves. We need to be proud in his presence. And know that he's going to answer us. Amen. Let's stand and let's say this song from the King, this verse from King James. "For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God." So who are we worshiping this morning? Jesus. We're going to worship this Lord who hears us and answers. So let's give us everything. Give him everything we've got this morning. Amen.
That's right.
Let's praise with full spirits. Amen.